I've always associated, we do a little introduction here. I've always associated the notice A with inner truth, self truth, soul truth. That's what the show is about tonight. Our special guest is no other than the composer of that piece, Stephen Halperin. Very honored to have you, Stephen, with us tonight to talk about truth, and this is the fifth in a series of truth. The note of A has always represented the third eye to me, which allows us to see through the eyes of others as well as our own.
Mm-hmm.
I looked all over the internet about wonderful things about you, and I found out that that particular album was named the most important New Age recording of all time by New Age Voice magazine. That was on Amazon. That's very impressive.
Well, thank you.
I have to introduce myself here on the radio station, so just hold with me a minute. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for the Sound Health Alternative show on BBS Radio, and for the next hour, I'm delighted that you could join us for a bit of conversation designed to provide options and information for self-help. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about different kinds of trust. Trust in our outside world, about who we can trust, our government, big pharma, stockbrokers, big corporations, those people that have the agendas of finance, their agenda, and at the very front of it, and probably at the bottom, is our finances. On the other extreme, we've been talking about self-trust. How do we trust ourselves? How do we know who we really are, and how do we act on what's truth for us? Tonight, we're going to talk about trust of those close to us, those who supposedly support us, but at the same time oppose us, breach our personal trust, make us feel vulnerable, betrayed from our soul. We're going to touch on the subject of healing music and research, publications and reports, and I'm reading from information about the show now, that you can find on bbsradio.com, their front page. You just go to the Sunday show at the bottom, or the day Sunday, and the Sound Health Alternative show, and we're at 6 Pacific time, and you can get this information. We're going to talk about who you can trust, who's lying, and Steve Halperin is with us, musician, author of Tuning the Human Instrument and Sound Health, musician. His music is known as New Age, as meditation, as healing music. We'll talk to him in a moment about where he thinks his music belongs, in what genre, or in all of those. We have three really quick announcements. One, we're going to take phone calls tonight. The phone number 877-876-5227, and we have Don there manning the phones as always. And for those of you who don't remember that number, you can just go to bbsradio.com. It's right there on the front. And our web address, for those of you who are using your phone line to listen to the show, you can always go to soundhealth@soundhealth.org and send us an email with your question. Three short announcements here. One, the Journal of Bioacoustic Biology is now ready, and you can get a copy at jbab.org. It's free. Number two announcement, the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology is now a reality, and we're going to be offering classes through there to be certified in bioacoustics, sound healing, vocal profiling. There's also two new articles ready. We followed an expectant mother through the birth of her fourth child. It was an induced labor. We had a midwife there, plus it was in the hospital. The midwife was also a GYN nurse. We were able to follow the chemicals, particularly Pitocin and other natural substances, and the article is through using the voice to follow those chemicals in the body. That paper's already been accepted for publication by the Journal of Informatics and Computational Biology. And if you'd like a copy, just get in touch with us either by the website or email. Phone number 2-740-698-9119. Steve Halperin. is a recognized leader in using music as a powerful tool for self-healing and self-help. And to help us through these tough times of not knowing who we can believe, we're going to talk to you about your music and its meditation aspects and what inspires you. And do you consider your, well, first, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And do you consider your music healing, meditative, new age, music therapy? Where do you consider you belong?
I'm going to choose all of the above. And it's not just choosing, but they're all related. And for me, the overarching truth of why relaxing meditative music is healing is because, as is documented in the work by Dr. Herbert Benson in his landmark book, The Relaxation Response, when scientists finally started looking at the biology of relaxation, that it was discovered that what we called relaxation, number one, is much more important than we ever realized. Number two, that most people don't know what relaxation really feels like and really is, and that relates very much to the topic of your series on what is truth and what is true relaxation. And my entree into this field came partially as a result of my search and my quest to find music that would be healing for me, having read about the use of music in ancient times and experiencing myself in 1968, 1969 as already becoming a victim of having too much stress in my life. And the research said, you need to relax. My doctor said, you need to relax. I wanted to find something that was legal, that was non-addictive, that was enjoyable, that was effective, that would work over and over, and that I could do at home. Mm-hmm. Well, when I started hearing and channeling and composing the kind of music that I am most well known for, the sorts of responses that people gave in words were all of the above. The only thing that wasn't named as part of that was, well, what do we call this music? Well, in 1969, 1970, we called it healing music, we called it meditative music, we called it inner space or trance induction or hypnagogic music, higher consciousness music. Well, it turns out when the marketplace and when stores, particularly New Age and metaphysical stores, started opening up and people started asking for this kind of music to go along with the books that they were reading, because the music was sold in New Age stores, and because this kind of music, and I was one of the people who was doing concerts at the Whole Life Expos and these holistic events, it started becoming called New Age music just because that was what it was associated with. That was the good part. For people like myself and Yasos and Joel Andrews, what New Age meant was that this was part of the spiritual movement towards discovering and truth and enlightenment and really understanding who and what we really are. But it also meant that the music should be something new, that it couldn't be just warmed over pop music or rock music or classical music relabeled as healing, music that wasn't composed to be healing. This was music that was composed with healing and meditation and well-being included as the intention and the focus behind it. Well, that evolves into a very different kind of music. And what one finds as one gets into public life is there are certain people who philosophically or religiously could not accept a word like New Age music. Politically, we couldn't use healing music up until 1994. If you did that, you might be running afoul of some of the agencies that felt that you were involved in a structure-function aspect, and therefore musicians could be accused of practicing medicine without a license, which is, of course, absurd, because as soon as the healing properties of music, through research like my own and yourself and many other people, start to become really well known, guess what? All the old classical composers started being heralded as healing composers. Mozart was healing. Bach was healing. Well, whether they are or not, they certainly weren't relaxing in most cases. But the other aspect is you couldn't bust Mozart or Bach. They were dead. So it's been a real sea change, and as the absurdity of trying to impose medical or pharmacological rules on an art form became obvious, we were allowed to use, and we are currently allowed to use, all these names. The bottom line, though, is people's experience takes them into these places of inner peace and wellness. As we go on through this hour, the electromagnetic ramifications of getting into a balanced, tuned resonance in one's body, in one's biofield, literally put one in a higher field of coherence and entrainment to the dominant frequency in the, which, of the planet, which by its very nature is very healing. So all these reasons tie in with ancient healing music, but this was also part of a high-tech approach to really understanding what we're working with.
You've mentioned about 30 things that we need to talk about.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about them. Before we go on, I want to read something that I found about you on the Internet. When we have guests, I try to find out more than what their website says about them. And I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but it's from All Music Guide by Linda Kohanoff, sponsored by Sony. And it says, Steve Halperin is the original New Age artist, is the most in the most accurate sense of the term. In 1975, he released Spectrum Suite, his first album of music specifically designed for relaxation and healing. Before that, Halperin has been immersed in the New York City jazz scene as a trumpeter and guitarist, something I didn't know about you, and I've
right.
known each other for like 10 years or more, probably.
More, 20.
20? Oh, dear. I am old. Oh, dear. I don't know if I can go on reading that knowing I'm... Actually, I don't care that people know I'm like near 60. His disgust at the adverse effects of life in the fast lane were accentuated by a move to California where he perfected the idea of anti-frantic alternative, that's in quotes, music. Based partly on his metaphysical beliefs and partly on solid scientific research into the effects of sound on the human body, he came to the conclusion that the Western foundation of tension and release in music can't by nature provide listeners with relief from stress. He decided the answer was to create music that didn't go anywhere, and that's in quotes, in a traditional sense, but instead immerse the listener in a positive atmosphere conducive to recuperative and transcendental experiences. Halperin created music that was centered largely around cascades of major key arpeggios improvised at the electric piano, and he added generous helpings of reverb. I can't read my stuff here. To create a spacey, otherworldly feeling, he took a certain amount of inspiration from Oriental classic music and looked into ceremonial, magical, and healing aspects of sound used by ancient cultures. Halperin's importance as one of the true fathers of modern meditational and healing forms of music cannot be overemphasized. He has released over 50 instrumental and guided meditation recordings. Have you heard that before?
Well, yes. When it first came out, I remember being delighted because that was some of the most accurate writing she's ever done, and delighted that I was a focus of that. And quite frankly, I had forgotten that there was more than the opening two sentences of that quote. So it was great to hear that. Some of the things that you mentioned in quotations came from my own writing, anti-frantic alternative. She was one of the early and best writings in the heyday of New Age music in the Tower Records Store magazine and some other areas. Most of those reviewer positions have all phased out because magazines don't cover this music, but she definitely had an insight to understanding what was going on, and it continues to be so rare when a writer really gets what I'm doing, and because of my own writings, she was familiar with some of my earlier work. I think that quote was done somewhere in the early 90s, that there is a tradition that goes back to ancient Asian realizations about sound. Certainly the work of many of the gurus and yogis and mystics in India, as well as Egypt and China, understood that sound could be healing. But I wish more people read that. In fact, I'll have to link to that from my website now. So thank you for reminding me that.
And a lot of her writings about other people who are in the New Age, she links them back to you, that you are their influence, and the influence is obvious. But then everyone knows that you came first.
No, everyone doesn't know that. That's the amazing thing, though. But thank you for putting that.
You should know.
Sherry, my album, Chakra Suite, just had its 30th anniversary, because the first version of that recording came out as healing music, talked about healing in 1975. A lot of the buyers at stores are younger than that album. And I have had some of them say to me, why should we buy something that's older than us? We never heard of you. Well, some of them were actually conceived to my music, but you know, by the time they got around, they're just listening to rap or hip-hop or, you know, something else, and they have no idea what's going on. So it always amazes me how many people do know of me, but by the same token, how many people have never heard of me.
Well, to my mind, you are known as the founding father of New Age music. You are without a doubt, from what I've read on the Internet, and there are thousands and thousands of hits on your name on the Internet, more than any other New Age person I could find in particular. You are, when I talk to people about meditation music, and we use your music in our classes and introductions to radios and things that we do. But you've sold millions and millions of recordings. People
mm-hmm.
listen to you all over the world.
Right.
When I see people like Don Campbell, Jonathan Goldman, Joshua Reeves, John Dunn, all these people following in your very important footsteps, I can see your influence there. I would think it must be exhilarating to know that so many people respect your music that they want to emulate you.
Thank you. That's a nice way to put it. Yes, and I would say a couple of things. When I first started hearing this music, it was as if, as Ezra Pound said, artists are the antenna of the race. And a number of musicians were starting to hear this new kind of music. However, the combination of hearing it, playing it, and then being able to get it out to the public, it would have been much easier for me to stay as a music teacher or as a private consultant and not get into the world of business and have to learn a whole other career in order to share this music with the world. But I also knew deep down that this was what my mission was, this was what my dharma was. And the first part of my life was involved in learning how to be a musician to play this music. The next part was learning how to be, as it were, an entrepreneur to get it out into the world. What you just mentioned is kind of a mixed bag for me. Some of these people and others that you haven't mentioned have actually come up to me in person and thanked me for being the inspiration for their work. And in many cases, the next month or two, I'll read an interview where they take credit for doing it all themselves, and they had an inspiration on stage, and they mentioned the year. And I said, well, isn't that interesting? It was right after they attended my workshop. So there's the de facto influence. There's the, well, this is happening. Let's jump on the bandwagon. But there's all sorts of things. The bottom line is that there's more and more work coming out to the public. At the same token, there's more and more misinformation and disinformation coming out about what is healing. There's a lot of people who literally have just slapped a label called Music for Healing on albums that they had done years before that had nothing whatsoever to do with healing. And on that level, I know on some internet sites, I am labeled as a guy that made all this, you know, started all these bad people. In fact, one article accused me of inspiring Yanni. I know that is not true.
Well, what is healing music?
Ah, well, that's a great question. My general take is that understanding what healing is, which tracing back to the root to become whole, healing is to be in tune with oneself and the world. Healing is obviously working on a higher vibrational frequency than dis-ease and disease. So understanding that there are many ways to get into a more healing state of being, my path and my focus has been on sound and music, and to really look at the ways music and sound, and there are relationships and differences between those two words, but the bottom line is how that stimulus evokes a healing response, how it speaks to and empowers and supports, nurtures the innate intelligence and wisdom and literally the natural state of our human instrument, which is to be whole, which is to be balanced, which is to be peaceful and happy and having all the different energy of vortices or chakras aligned and working in phase with each other. Healing relates also to the work of Itzhak Bentov, where there is a very efficient flow and movement of energy in the body. What acupuncturists will tell us is that the energy moves, the chi moves easily through the meridians, through the acupuncture points. These are all aspects of what healing is. There are many, many different ways to get it. One of the most effective and fundamental ways is to get into a state of meaningful psychophysiological relaxation, and music that creates that is definitely part of what we can call sound healing and music healing.
I have an idea that what you tapped into was the innate way that we deal with music from our soul, from our cellular level, and that's what people have picked up and have begun to call their own, when actually you brought it out to the public.
I think so. When I first started working with this music, I was, in fact, challenged and guided and inspired by Dr. Stanley Krippner and Dr. John Lilly, who saw the responses of people when I played this music. They said, you have to prove it. You have to, and I'm sure you could resonate with this because you've done a lot of the same things. Just saying something is healing is one thing. Just playing beautiful music, that's a good thing. But if you're going to make claims or if you really want to attract other people, what's it going to do for them? You need to have some kind of scientific proof. One of the things that sets me apart from most of the other musicians is I actually had to learn how to do scientific testing, hired some scientists, and we did some hard core science biofeedback measurements that we were then able to use as objective data to say, this is not just a matter of belief anymore. This is something that was true. In fact, it was at those early research studies that we found that a lot of people thought, for instance, that the classical music that they were listening to was relaxing. What we found is that the biology of their body said, no way, Jose. They weren't even close. They were in a very stimulated, excited state of being, which was fine for one thing, but it's like drinking coffee and saying, oh, this is the most relaxing thing. Coffee is an upper. It's a drug. It's designed. The caffeine gets you moving. It's about stimulating the nervous system, making the nervous system more nervous. For me, people talking about coffee and relaxation is 1984 newspeak. Coffee is an upper. So whether you like it or not, and it certainly has its place, let's at least be accurate in what we're describing things. So relaxation has been one of the most misunderstood aspects, and the cellular aspect, when I was first writing about it, trying to describe my music to people, particularly my faculty advisors, they say, well, you know, we can't analyze this music. We're not going to be able to give you a grade in your graduate program because we can't intellectually analyze. And I said, you're a fool. The point is that this is music is resonating at a cellular level. I was using these phrases in 1970 and 71, and the whole point is that you don't have to think about it. The body knows this intuitively, immediately, energetically. It's a frequency-specific response at a cellular level, possibly even at a molecular and atomic level. There's an energy field exchange, and music like this really gets us into a coherent state that we really resonate with the truth of our souls. I think that's what's happening in true healing music.
Is that what you've written about in Tuning the Human Instrument and Sound Health?
I certainly started coming out of it. Tuning the Human Instrument was the first book of its kind that really even addressed these for a mass audience. I self-published in 1977, so we started broaching those. I got much more in-depth in 1984 and 85 when Sound Health came out, and I used a lot of those aspects in trying to understand and explain to doubting Thomases and the media, as well as people who were starting to recognize that they needed more relaxation in their own lives. They needed ways to reduce their stress. And I'm saying, well, music is a wonderful choice if you choose the right music. If you choose ineffective music, you're going to just be frustrated. And what I've seen happen over the years is many people turn off to the whole concept of sound or music healing because, A, they never learned about it in school. B, they tried a piece of music by Mozart, maybe The Marriage of Figaro, and it was not relaxing, which, by the way, folks, Mozart never intended The Marriage of Figaro to be relaxing. But if they just read the headline on a little article, Mozart makes you smarter, or Mozart is healing, as happened when the Mozart Effect book came out, many people just got a 10-second soundbite, there was a great deal of misinformation and frustration that went around. Part of my job has been to, as it were, set the record straight and really take a look at the record, say, folks, here's what's really happening, here's how you could use it, and here's how you could start telling some of the ways that your body will let you know if you're moving and shifting into a more healing modality.
Is this part of the misinformation that you found, particularly about the Mozart Effect and tension release? Well, sure.
Let me give an example.
A big example of total misinformation.
For instance, one of the let me be clear that I am not saying negative things about classical music, but I am saying that if you read anything or know anything about classical music, the compositional basis is typically a format that plays a phrase, or there's a structure that creates tension in the listener through musical progressions and melodic progressions, and then releases that. Coming from New York as a good old type A individual, if I was stressed, the last thing I wanted was to get more stressed before I got less stressed. I want to go right from A to C. And I was told when I started out, that's impossible, you can't do it. What I found out and what I proved in my research is, yes, you can do it, but not with your music, not with your music of dead white European composers. This is part of what the new music in this age was, and that's part of how the New Age name came up. Well, here's the example. I will sing a little phrase, notice what you're feeling in your own body. Be aware of tension or release in your chest area. Become aware of your breathing. Here we go. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
Ah.
Right.
I want the next one.
Right. The final scaleless interrupters. Do. Right. Now, what you all just experienced is, again, what I call scaleless interrupters, the tyranny of melodic imperialism. What I mean by that is that we are culturally conditioned to recognize and follow a musical phrase and a pattern of notes, we are also set up to anticipate where this pattern will be going. Now, that's fine and dandy, and that's part of the setting up the tension and resolution, but here's the problem. Relaxation only happens in the present moment, in the now. If you're always hung up projecting and anticipating what's going to happen, you're never able to relax in the present moment. I mean, this is so simple and so fundamental, and yet it's so not understood by the classical music mafia or most of the academicians who are involved with classical music, because they're addicted to that form. They can't see outside the box. And most other people certainly never learned that in school or anywhere else. So that's one of the reasons why I continue writing articles and newsletters and doing workshops and go around the country educating people to what their own bodies are telling them. When I do that little experiment, they go, I never realized. Well, and what you start doing is when you listen to music, wherever you listen, particularly because music is a soundtrack that's so important in movies and TV, you can feel your own body being manipulated, stressed, and you could feel yourself holding your breath, which is the intention of so many of these other soundtracks. What I do is the exact opposite. I empower individuals to tune into their own deep breath reflex. Breathing deeply is one of the most healing things we can do for ourselves. And most people have never, ever been taught to pay attention and watch what happens when you do hold your breath. Watch what happens when something makes you breathe more shallowly and more quickly. It doesn't feel as good.
One of the things we have to stress here, that a healing note is not the same for everyone. Everybody has their own system and of notes that's healing to them. Yes, there are general things that are healing to everyone. But if we're going to, and this is my own research, I'm my own bias I'm dropping in here.
Mm-hmm.
One note that's healing to one person and they think it's wonderfully healing, the next person may say, shut this off or I'm leaving the building. So the people have their own stuff, their own soul sound. And you've opened up like 50 new questions for me here. I want to add one thing that we found in the research that we're doing, that the beat frequency of the sound, it attends to the heart, and the frequency of it attends to the brain. And when we can bring those two together, then the first thing the body does is take this deep, relaxing belly breath. And it's like everything just kind of floats out of the system that was tension. But you have to grab that moment or whatever that combination is. And I am musically illiterate. I just know what the frequencies do for people and what we're looking at. But we have found the strangest things. You know, something that's relaxing for one person is upbeat for the next one. One of the experiments that we've run is with some of Otmar Liebert's music. And that, in particular, people who have blood sugar issues love his Barcelona Nights. And they will pick it above all other pieces of music that we ask them to listen to. And so we took this apart and looked at it, and it has the notes that stimulate blood sugar, the pancreas, the gallbladder, and several different kinds of sugars. And the people who have blood sugar problems cannot sit still with this music. I've got it up here. I want you to explain to me why this is the truth. Just a bit of it. And to me, that's tension music. And to them, it is the most relaxing soul music that makes their insides so relaxed and gives them energy and makes their body sing. But you take somebody that has arthritis, and they don't like that music.
Right. Well, here's a couple of things that come to mind as you play that. Number one, because of the second major law, we talked about resonance and the deep breath response. There is another major way that we respond to music, which is the phenomenon of rhythm entrainment, meaning specifically in this case that our heartbeat will follow the beat of the music. That's a fast beat over there, so that music is, whether you like it or not, your heartbeat, you have no choice. It's in the autonomic nervous system. Your heartbeat is going to start beating faster. Now, there are so many reasons why some people may not like that. I think you've hit on something very interesting, obviously, with the blood sugar issue. Some people, and depending on who we're talking to in our audience, some people may have past life issues with being martyred in the Inquisition in Spain, and when they hear anything sounding semi-flamenco-ish or Spanish, they start, you know, having a tough time. Other people don't like the sound of the guitar because the plucking of the actual high-tension string creates tension. Other people have exactly the opposite aspect. And again, this is why there are so many reasons why people need to really pay attention to their own responses. I know many couples who never, before they happen to attend one of my workshops, never expressed to each other, "Well, honey, when you play that music, it drives me up the wall," and they would just internalize it, and the problem was their relationship was crumbling because they're, without even knowing it, undermining each other's health and well-being. So the whole aspect of music is one that's much more important on a relationship level as well as an individual level.
And one of the things that I bring this up for is I find very few people who disagree with your music. It's relaxing to them. You don't have these choices that people are making all the time. Well, I like that one, I don't like that one. Very few people I've ever found don't like your music.
So well, I am delighted to hear you say that.
Sorry, I was trying to take a drink.
Okay. I'm delighted to hear you say that. And in all our humility, that is the response that I have gotten all these years. That's what got me into going public with the music, and that's what has continued to be the typical response, at least of the self-selected people and audience that have heard the music, that it continues to have that effect. Part of the reason is because there is no powerful central rhythm in my music, and that's by design. It allows your heartbeat to choose a context and a beat structure and a rhythm that is aligned with your natural state of well-being. Now, with the music that we just heard before, it reminds me also that there are so many other reasons why somebody might like music. Same thing with Mozart, for instance. I was at a music therapy conference after the research first came out, and one of the psychologists said, "Excuse me, has anyone recognized the fact that Mozart is a classic ADD, ADHD individual, and maybe the fact is that the writers and the reviewers that love this music the most are all ADD, ADHD themselves, and for them, Mozart makes them balanced. But for other people, maybe not. I know when I first read that Mozart makes you smarter, I said, not for me. I put it on, I can't think, it makes me dumber. And when I want to listen to Mozart, I don't try to do work. I focus on the music. So there's many different kinds of responses. But as a marketing phenomenon, just like American Idol, the Mozart effect was brilliant. It was never scientifically valid, but guess what? People don't care about that. It was a good soundbite, sold millions of books, millions of CDs, and I bet a lot of them are sitting on the shelf gathering dust now. People don't play them after the first time because they didn't work. What has been so empowering and wonderful and a blessing is that people write me all the time is that they continue playing my albums for years and years and years, and even more significantly, they don't get tired of the music.
Absolutely.
That's also a function because I don't have the tension resolution. I don't have the recognizable structures that your brain, whether you're musically illiterate or otherwise, you become familiar with it, and then it doesn't work. It's real hard to play music that doesn't have structure. As a musician, it took me to a whole other place to have to get in tune with music that comes from a place of peace rather than comes from a man-made musical structure context.
I've looked on your site, excuse me, and I was sort of surprised to learn that you have a learning CD out. I didn't know that.
Well, yes, Music for Accelerated Learning, for the same reasons that we've been talking everything else, the brain, instead of just being locked into the left brain, the analytical hemisphere, what we found early on, in fact in the 1971 biofeedback studies, is that we were lighting up and stimulating the right brain, that this is the aspect not dealing with analysis, but with tone, with holism. And then we would find that the whole brain, when I started doing research with Dr. Maxwell Cade in London in 1977, he had the first equipment called the Mind Mirror that was the most sophisticated biofeedback device at the time. He said, well, this is phenomenal. You're getting balanced hemispheric response in a way that no other music is doing other than the guttural chanting of the Tibetan monks, which no one wanted to listen to. That was another very, very instructive moment that there was, that whatever the reason, and Sherry, I can't sit here right now and say I know all the reasons why this music does what it does. I could tell you that because the music comes from a place of peace and because I have had some angelic encounters or some very strong intuitive guidance helping me with the music and that it's not all mine. That's all part of it, but the bottom line is that it works. This is something that is has a proven track record of 30, 35 years. It's repeatable, it's predictable, and if my theory isn't correct, well, then let's work on coming up with another theory. But what really galls me is when people dismiss 30 years of a track record. Just I'm sure like you have with your research, this is fact when people say it couldn't be because they say it doesn't work in theory. And I go, excuse me, well, then your theory is deficient because it works in the real world. It works in real life.
People, when we take their backaches away, they don't care how we did it.
Exactly.
They just care that it happened. We've only got about 10 minutes left. I want to cover three things. One, how can people get in touch with your writings? Two, a bit about acoustic music, and three, about lying. So if people want more information, if they want to buy your CDs, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, to get in touch with me, there's a link on my website, which is, of course, www.stevenhalpern, StevenHalpern.com. And there's a link right there that you could send me a direct email. It goes through my office and ultimately pretty quickly usually gets to me. Number two, of course, is always Amazon and many of the other places. So there are many places that you could buy and listen to. I think we have the best deal with the overall discount prices, but there's lots of opportunities out around.
And you can argue with millions and millions of sales.
Excuse me?
You can't argue with your success. There's been millions and millions of your recordings sold.
Exactly, and that's the other thing. When I look at some of my competitors and some of the people who have ripped off songs note for note and taken my own catalog or liner notes word for word, the bottom line is they haven't sold nearly as much, and people don't go back to buy their next album because they don't work. You know, you can fool somebody once with a pretty cover. You don't make the same mistake again.
When I did find anything negative about you on the Internet, it was from people who had their own agenda.
That's
a music therapy person was one. People who didn't even have their own records. It was like sour grapes. But I don't think they shouldn't take that attitude, because I think what you have brought forth is an innate piece of all of us, and so we all feel that your music belongs to us. It just gets in there and is part of your soul when you start listening to it.
Exactly, and thank you. Now, you asked two other things. My writings, a lot of them are available, archived on my site. There will be more in the very near future. My book, Sound Health, is now finally available as a used book on eBay. I'm working on my next book, but it's been out of print for many years. I won't get into what Harper and Row did. But it's hard to find, but there are articles and there are other things that are out in the world. And, again, my website is usually one of the better places to find things. And number three, you asked about,
you asked about
acoustic versus digital, perhaps.
Well, I have read from some experts, some of which we've named tonight, that only acoustic music heals. First, only God heals, and the body heals itself. But what do you think about that statement?
Well, they were fooled. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just
That's
trying
good.
To sell their own things. I mean, to be blunt, we're running out of time. Again, 35 years of proven track record with the music that I play, which sometimes involves grand piano and acoustic instruments, sometimes electric piano, and sometimes keyboards that would be called synthesizers and samplers. These can be very healing. It's not just the instrument, but who's playing it. A badly tuned piano, a badly played piano, is an anti-healing instrument. And if the musician who plays an acoustic instrument is stressed, doesn't matter what he plays, that music is going to stress and undermine your health rather than help it. So that's the kind of half-truth and misinformation that is way too prevalent, because people don't know and people believe what's on the internet or believe what someone else tells them. It's ridiculous. On the other hand, there are so many different ways. You know, we only had a chance to touch on a few, and the main one through relaxation. But there's healing through drumming. There are healing through many different ways. There's healing, as you well know, through using the voice with vocal toning with the vowels, with vocal toning on the missing frequencies in one's voice. So my perspective is that we need all the help we can get. We need all the tools that are out there. Why limit it and say, well, this can't work, when we know it does? I've actually had some of those people lie to my face, and I say, but you know why? And some of them have actually admitted, yeah, we know it works, but our editor won't let us say that, or we're in competition now. And it's sad that in this, quote, new age and healing and spiritual music field, there are people like that. But on the other hand, that's one of the ways that spirit lets us know we're doing something. If you don't do enough things to piss other people off, then you're not making an impact. Obviously, your work, my work, we're making an impact because we get some of these other inharmonious responses.
Well, I think our people would argue with that, because we've seen regrowth of nerves and just tremendous healings, and we're using tones out of a box. I mean, it's analog, but it's still out of a box, and there's absolute verified, lab-verified reversals of disease. So, but you talked about people who lie to my face, and that's one of the things that I put on the information about the show, that we're going to talk a bit about lying. And we've got 4 or 5 minutes. I hope Don will let us get all of this in. I have taken off the internet some commercials that show that people are lying. And I would like to pass that on, and I know you've done a bit of this research, too, about who's lying and who's not and what's going on. But a way to tell by listening to their voice who's lying. This first one is a commercial about a lady losing weight, and there's two types of modulation in voice, one amplitude and one frequency. And the amplitude modulation is gone from this voice. Actually, I'm going to play two of them, see if I can get this going here. And listen to this woman absolutely go flat in her voice.
Down to 153 pounds. I've went from a size 18 down to a size 7 dress. If you had told me that I would have dropped 50 pounds, I would never have believed it. And now look at me. If you're one of those people who constantly worry about 5 or 6 vanity pounds, Leptoprin is not for you. Leptoprin is much too expensive and much too powerful for the casual dieter. But if you're one of the millions of
Can you hear no amplitude in that woman's voice?
Right, it sounds flat.
Yeah, that woman's lying, and she knows she's lying.
And she's probably reading a script, and she may just be a paid actress. You know, that often happens. One of the other things that I felt, Sherry, which I also feel in music a lot, is that I can feel my chest getting tighter, right around my sternum. I can feel my breath getting tighter and shallower and a little quicker. I'm not breathing as deeply as I was before. So again, the wisdom of the body tunes in, and that's how part of it manifests, that you identified in the flatness of the amplitude. All these things are all syncing up together.
Is there, since you deal with computers and music and all this all the time, is there a computer program that people could use to record this kind of commercial or even their telephone conversation, that you could look at the sound of the voice like you look at music and see what this trait is? Billy can't figure out what the trait is.
Right. In general, I don't think that there's technology that most people combine. I'm familiar with software that we use in the recording studio that you could actually see this showing up on a screen. But I remember some years ago that they were ads for little devices that you could hook up to your TV or stick in your pocket that in real time would show you whether a light would go on or not, whether it was picking up on the stress or the amplitude. I don't know how this little device was made. I ordered it. It never arrived, and I never saw the ads again. So I have a feeling that it may really have worked and that some very important people say, we don't want that out in the world. But I have a feeling they were tuning into the same thing. Perhaps we should do a search and see if there are some of those used or whether there are some other things available on the Internet. But
we
I do know something was.
We have one, and I will send it to you.
Oh.
But we also have a computer program where we can look at this. And I think a lot of times people don't trust the people around them. They don't trust people that lie to their face. They don't trust people on the phone. And I think this would be a very good way for us to call people on their words. That
wow.
We're talking about people lying to your face. We're talking about people who are giving misinformation to the public. This is a tie-in to next week's show when we're going to talk about internal truth and being authentic. And yes, if people are lying to you and you're feeling vulnerable and used and misused, then I would suggest that you listen to Stephen Halperin's music. It just takes it all away. We're about the end of our 55 minutes or so here. Stephen, we usually end with a thought. Thank you for being on the show. This has been great. And I've got to maybe one-tenth of the questions.
I know.
We have a pile of questions from the Internet that I just didn't even touch. So we're going to have to bring you back. But
I look forward to it. I know we were talking about Chakra Suite and Music for Sound Healing, Gifts of the Angels today, but most of the music in my NP series will work and get the response that we're talking about today.
Well, people, they just need to find their favorite piece and their favorite note and go for it.
Right.
And if they would like, we have something called a note correlate chart that will give them the information about each one of those notes. So if people want that, I'll send it to you. You can put it on your site. We'll put it on our site.
It'll be up immediately. That sounds great.
We'll put it on a reference to this show, which they can find on the front page of BBS Radio. And the thought I'd like to leave people with, but I want to put some of your music up here to go out on, and all I have are these lying commercials. So I want to change this out so I can put your wonderful music up here. But the thought, and I have this on the back of my business card, you have something similar to this on each of your albums. And would you repeat that for people about copyright?
Copying an album for oneself is fine if you want to use it in your car or somewhere else, but copying it and giving it to a friend is stealing. You know, the whole Napster revolution really obscured that for a while. But it's a violation of federal law. It's a violation of karmic law. It's not in integrity. And it's really stealing from the artists and the musicians. And it's not honoring. And ultimately, it's like killing the goose that laid the golden egg. If the musicians don't get a fair return on their investment and their work, they won't be able to go in the recording studio anymore, and we will run out of new music.
It takes thousands and thousands of dollars, and people
millions.
Do this all the time. Millions. People do it all the time without thinking. If you wouldn't steal their car or their home, don't steal their albums either.
Exactly.
There is overwhelming evidence that the higher the level of self-esteem, the more likely one will be to treat others with respect, kindness, and generosity. That's from Nathaniel Brandon, the American expert on self-esteem. And this is Sherry Edwards with Steve Halperin, and it's been very enjoyable on BBS Radio until next Sunday.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.